Promotion for the men at Chick-fil-A. And we were just blessed. I was still working at the time, and I told them Friday was the best day of the week because I got started off with my brother sitting there, and we'd have breakfast and discuss scripture and just pray one for another. And we still do that, by the way, every Friday morning, weather permitting. and it's just a wonderful time. But Brother Adam was the one that started that ministry for us, and we're just so thankful for him stepping out on faith and obeying the Lord. And we've asked Brother Adam to minister for us tonight, to bring us the word. So at this time, Brother Adam, would you come, amen, and just preach what God has laid on your heart. Amen.
Morning, I was sitting there as Brother Eddie was preaching, and the Lord said, "You need to preach." I said, "Okay." I said, "What you want me to preach, Lord?" He said, "What you've learned." I said, "Okay. I've learned a lot, Lord." And I didn't know when. Didn't know it would be tonight. And that was all he said to me this morning. And after church, Brother Rowdy came over to me, and he said, I feel like the Lord told me you were supposed to bring the message tonight." And he was supposed to preach tonight. And I just smiled at him and said, "Okay." Because, you know, the devil will try to whisper in your ear and tell you that you ain't got no business doing that, or... You know, you try to sing, and then you get to coughing, and you can't sing, and he'll just say, "Well, you just made a fool of yourself." No, I didn't. I was doing what I was doing for the glory of God.
Amen.
And, you know, it sounded beautiful in his ears. And, you know, when I say, when he told me that I need to preach what I've learned, it that's one thing that I've learned, Brother Eddie, that he's the one I'm trying to please.
That's right.
Not people, but him. It's, you know, the decisions you make in your life, if you're truly a born-again believer, then you should be striving to please him. And if it's pleasing to him, what does it matter if someone else doesn't like it? But we want to please him in all that we do. I want to speak tonight from John chapter 8. If you'll turn with your Bibles to John chapter 8. I'm just going to read one verse to start with, and then we'll get into the word a little further. But John chapter 8, verse number 12. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Let us bow. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come to you tonight, God, I'm thankful, Father, for this privilege and this honor to stand here in this pulpit, God, and to speak your word to these people. God, I pray that you would anoint me now by your Spirit, God, to speak the words that you'd have me to speak. God, keep me from saying anything that you wouldn't be pleased with. God, I pray that you would anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to receive it, God. Help us know how to apply your word to our lives as we go forward. God, show us and reveal to us tonight what it means to be your light. God, I just thank you and I praise you, God, again for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life."
Yes.
Have you ever thought about, you know, we know that we're supposed to be a light in this lost and dying world. And you know, we could turn all these lights out and just get it just as dark as it could possibly be in here. And we could light a candle, and that candle would disperse that darkness.
Right.
That one candle. You could be standing back there, Brother Rowdy, and me up here, and this whole place pitch dark, and you could see that candle burning, because that light disperses darkness. Sure. But can I tell you tonight that there's no amount of darkness that can put that light out?
Amen.
Think about that. We can be a light in a lost and dying world, and the darkness cannot put us out.
Praise God.
But we can disperse the darkness by being the light that Jesus called us to be. He didn't call us just to be a light so someone could see, but He gave us the ability to be the light of life. The light of life. You know, that's what a lighthouse does when it's out on the sea. It used to guide the ships where the rocks were and let them know where the light was so that they could be guided safely to the shore. That's what we are. As believers, as Christians, we're to be shining a light that warns of the obstructions that Satan puts in the way, that leads people to the life everlasting, not just a little salvation experience that gives them little goosebumps and they feel good and they go out and they go back to the same life they know. No, but it's the light of life. How many of you realize and know and remember the day you were changed? I mean the day that old things passed away and behold, everything became new. It didn't matter what you had done. It only mattered what you was going to do in the glory of God.
Amen.
Because see, when you get saved, when you really commit your life to Christ, old things pass away. That won't stop the darkness from trying to bring up everything you've ever done to discourage and distort you from going forward. But when you keep your eyes focused on the light of life, you can put those things behind you. You can put those things behind you and let them be an encouragement to walk in the light. You know, you don't ever want to forget where you come from. But you do want to realize what you were delivered from. You want to remember that. And I'm afraid too many times, Brother Eddie, that when we get saved and we get in church and we start living right, we tend, because of our success in living for Christ, sometimes we forget where we came from. Sometimes we forget that we were once sinners too. And that's why it becomes so easy. And you got to watch the devil because he's crafty and he'll come in and he'll sliver in and he'll all of a sudden puff you up with pride and make you think you're something better than somebody else because you don't sin like that. And he'll cause you to forget that you once was a sinner and that you not only once needed God's grace, but we continue to need His grace day by day. Day by day. This story comes from John chapter 8. But I'm going to read a good bit of this chapter and we're just going to go through it. Because it starts with a very compelling story and it ends with a very compelling story that is real similar. Let's just start at John chapter 8, verse number 1. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning He came again unto the temple. And all the people came unto Him. And He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. The scribes and the Pharisees, the religious people. The scribes were the law. You know, they're the ones that, the workers of the law. The Pharisees, the religious people, had taken this woman, caught in the very act of adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they wanted to make an example out of her. And they say unto Him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Can I tell you she was guilty? Can I tell you we've all been guilty? But we all have not been rushed in front of a crowd and exposed by religious people. Or have we? I've seen it happen more times than really I ever should have. I've seen people's sin exposed by religious people that forgot they were sinners too. That forgot that they needed God's grace just as much. But here we have the woman being brought to Jesus. And it says, Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting Him, that they might have to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down with His finger and wrote on the ground as though He heard them not. Listen, isn't it just like religious people to try to tempt others to see if they can catch them in something wrong? Listen, that's not a Christian. That's not a believer in Christ. That's not someone that is blood bought and been washed in the blood of Jesus. They don't go around looking for fault in others.
Right.
But they go around looking for others they can lift up.
Amen.
Not for those they can cast down. Too many times, religious people are spending more time trying to find fault in others when they should be thanking God for His grace in their life and lifting them up. They said that tempted him, and he stooped down on the ground and wrote with his finger on the ground as though he heard them not. What did he write in the ground? I have no idea. And no one else does either, because it ain't in here. You can come up with any kind of theology or thought or imagination. And you know what? If you got an imagination about things, that's okay. Don't go make a doctrine out of it. Don't go make a doctrine out of it. If it ain't in the Bible, it's all right. We don't have all the answers for a reason. The reason I believe that we don't have all the answers to all the mysteries is because it would nullify and weaken our faith. Where not having all the details, not having all of the answers, causes us to exercise our faith and trust and belief in Him in spite of what we don't know.
Amen.
Think about it. If you've got all the answers and you know everything, what do you need faith for?
Right.
But it is by faith that we please God.
Yes, it is
by faith that He's pleased with us.
Yes.
By faith. So he stooped down on the ground and he wrote something on the ground. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. I don't know what he wrote the second time either. But it doesn't matter. It's a detail. You say, well, why is it there? I don't know. He made a point, the writer made a point to let us know that he did. He stooped down on the ground and he wrote something.
Yep.
But he didn't feel it was necessary to give us every detail, and that's okay. It's okay. You know, a lot of times I think we're so full of pride that we don't want to say we don't know. Can I tell you that it's okay to say I don't know and understand everything about God? Because His ways are higher than our ways. And you know what? When you come to grips and understand that His ways is higher than your ways, His understanding is more and greater than yours will ever be, then your faith can become alive to say, I don't have to know what He wrote on the ground. I just trust and believe that whatever it was, it caused those men to drop their stones and walk away. It caused those religious people that were just so determined to drag this woman that was guilty before Christ and stone her. It caused them, something caused them to wait and say, wait a minute. I'm a sinner too. Let he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. Listen, I don't care if you're 70 or if you're 7.
Amen?
We all need God's grace. And you know, I've heard people... And it's typically people that have been in church and been involved in religion. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that's been involved in religion a long time, but they still ain't got a relationship. They've been going to church for a long time, but they still ain't got a relationship with Christ. Because they begin to get puffed up in themselves and how long they've served God and how they don't sin. They don't do that. Let me tell you what Jesus said over in John, or the first John. He says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Listen, next time you got a stone you want to cast at somebody else, you need to pick up John chapter 1, verse number 8, and say, If I say I have no sin, I deceive myself. Because see, that's the only one that should be casting a stone at another is one that lives a sinless life. But what did Jesus do? Let's go back to John chapter 8. Being convicted by their own conscience, they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Well, I'm going to stone you myself." Nope. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee." She was guilty.
Yes, she was.
No question about whether she was guilty. She was guilty. But Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Let me tell you, when you encounter somebody that's guilty, we need to be like Christ. Listen, this is what being like Christ really means. It doesn't mean just standing up for what we believe in. But it means putting into practice, into action in our lives, really what Jesus would do. What would Jesus do to a guilty woman that was caught in the very act of adultery? He would forgive her. We should forgive those that have trespassed against us. We should forgive those that are sinning in ways that we've never imagined or thought of. We should love them like Christ loved them. That's the word. That's the real example. Man, it's real hard sometimes, Brother Rowdy. It's real hard when you wanna see them suffer because of the sin. But you know what I've learned? That it's not the sinner that God hates. It's the sin. And He doesn't want them destroyed. He wants them delivered from it. And how will we be a light in a lost and dying world if all we're doing is chunking stones at the sinners? Because they deserve it. Let me tell you, if we got what we deserved, we'd all be stoned. Because we're all sinners. Listen, I started out with verse number 12. We just now got there. Isn't it strange that here's this woman that's guilty, been drugged before Christ by the religious leaders of that day? He convicted them. They dropped their stone. And hey, I'll give them this. They had enough integrity at that moment to drop their stone and walk away. And that's a good thing. We're going to see in a minute that they didn't have their integrity too long, but they at least had enough to walk away there. And then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." The Pharisees therefore said unto him, "Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." But Jesus answered and said unto them, "Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But you cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. You judge after the flesh. I judge no man." You know what? We need to stop judging a lot of times too. I'm not talking about judging righteousness and unrighteousness. The Bible teaches us to judge those things. He teaches us to judge righteous judgment, not judge people. We're not the judge of people. Because listen, this is what happens when we become judges. We just find out one that's a little worse sinner than we are to judge. Because it's easy to make ourselves feel better about our sin and the shape that we're in when we can find somebody that's just done a little bit worse than we've done. But listen, sin is sin in God's eyes. Listen, the child molester, the murderer, they're sinners. I was once in the same boat as them. I've never done those things. But in God's eyes, sin is sin. Listen, if I'm a thief or a liar, I've sinned just as much as they have. Listen, if I'm a thief and I stole from the IRS or the government. Uh-oh. I'm just as wrong and just as much a sinner as the one that stole from my neighbor. Now, we don't like to hear that because we don't like the IRS. But what is the Bible? The Bible has an answer for everything. And sometimes it just ticks me off that Jesus said, pay unto Caesar what is Caesar's. So he said to pay your taxes. Don't cheat them. Who's right? He is. Listen, if you're cheating on your taxes, you ain't got no right to throw a stone at anybody that's stealing from the neighbor. Because in God's eyes, you're a thief too. But you know what? We'll drag that one that stole from the neighbor before the church and say, oh, this guy's a thief. He was caught in the very act of stealing. But yeah, over here, we're signing that H&R Block. Oh, well, that's all right. They don't even know about that. God knows. Listen, and it's time we as Christians start having the conviction power of God come upon us that we'll sign the right paper at the H&R Block. Because why? Because we're not trying to please everybody else. We're trying to please God. And one day we're going to be held accountable. One day we're going to give an account. And I may hide it from Brother Rowdy. I may keep it from Brother Eddie. But one day I'm going to stand before a God that I can't hide it from and I can't keep it from. And I'm going to give an account. For why? So what should I do? Let's go back to John, 1 John chapter 1. Verse number 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins. If we confess our sins, He is just and faithful to forgive us. How can we confess our sins to Christ if we're so puffed up with pride that we don't think we've done no wrong? You ever had somebody come up to you and say, well, brother, if I offended you, I'm sorry. Listen, the fact that they said, if I offended you, tells me they don't know what they did. And they can't confess a sin that they don't even recognize. You know what? When we come to God, we shouldn't say, well, God, if I've sinned, I'm sorry. No. We should beat our chest and say, God, I am a sinner. Have mercy on me. I am a sinner. I have sinned. You know what? I know we've sinned. You know why? Because the Bible tells me we've all sinned. And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've fallen short. If we confess our sins, though, He is faithful and just to forgive us. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means it doesn't matter what you've done. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can the devil do to me? Nothing because of the blood of Jesus. Listen, he can take this life. He can only take this life if God says he can. He's at the mercy of God for what he can do. But you know what? If I leave this earth tonight, the devil done me a favor. Listen, we talk about going there. But have we ever really stopped to think, are we ready? Are we prepared to really stand before God? Are we really prepared to answer for all the things we've hidden from others that God knows full well all about? Listen, I don't want to preach down to you tonight or to make this an unhappy sermon. But the Bible says that we should examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith.
That's right.
And you know, when we get to examining ourselves and not judging and comparing ourselves compared to someone else, but compared to Christ, then we can become humble. Because if you compare yourself to Christ and still come out with pride, you're in trouble. Because He is the perfect Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice, and none of us have lived up to His measure. But you know what? When we compare ourselves to Christ, we see ourselves for who we really are. But then we look at Christ and we realize He sees us for who we can be in Him. Thank God for that. He goes on in chapter 8, and I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but he goes on and tries to talk with these Pharisees and these scribes about how his witness of himself is he was sent by the Father. So his record and his testimony is true that, you know, he said it. He said in their law, you know, two or more, their testimony is true. But he said, well, look, me and my Father, that's two. And he tells them, he said in verse 21, then Jesus again said unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, you cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. Listen to this next verse. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. He said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he doesn't do it. He keeps his mouth shut. He goes on to say that he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. So he says, though I have many things that I'd like to say to you, I'm not going to say them. I'm just going to say what God told me to say. Sometimes, you know, we run across those people we'd like to say a lot of things to. Sometimes it'd be better off if we just didn't. That we just, if we said anything, we just said what God told us to say. And then went on about our business and let God do it. Let God do the work in their lives. Let God be the judge of them. Let God handle the situation. Too many times, Brother Adams opened his mouth and said what he wanted to say. Guess what? That was just an opportunity that I gave the devil to show that my flesh can still rise up. But Jesus is my example. And if he says, I have many things to say to you and judge you, but I'm not going to do it. That's something I've learned. Just keep your mouth shut. Listen to what the word of the Lord says and say that and nothing else. If he didn't give you a word to say, don't say nothing. You'll be better off. Amen. Because you can't argue with a lot of people and you're not going to reach a lot of them. But he can. He knows how. He said, they understood not that he spake of them of the Father. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that pleaseth him. Who are we going to please? That's the mind of Christ. When you keep your mind on pleasing God, when you say whatever I say, or whenever I speak, or whenever I don't speak, it's going to be to the glory of God. It's going to be to please Him. If I speak, I want it to be pleasing to God. If I keep my mouth shut, I want it to be pleasing to God. Because that's who we're supposed to be concerned. That's who we're supposed to be. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So we therefore should keep our eyes on Him. And as we keep our eyes on Him, we need to keep our ears open and our mouth shut. You realize God gave you two ears and one mouth? So you should listen twice as much as you speak. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Listen, this is Jesus preaching here. These are the scribes and Pharisees that had just drug a woman caught in the act of adultery before him. And Jesus is preaching to them. And he spake these words, and many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. Listen, it goes back to just what Brother Eddie was preaching about this morning. It takes some effort. Listen, he said, he's preaching to these scribes and Pharisees that believed on him. That's what it says. And then he said, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And you shall," this is where he got them. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Right. Now listen here. Here comes the pride back. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be free?" Jesus answered to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father." They answered and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said unto them, "If ye were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham." If we're children of God, we will do the works of Jesus Christ. We will live like he lived. We will act like he acted. We will judge righteous judgment. We will act accordingly. We'll apply his word to our life, not just on Sunday at church, but Monday and Tuesday and Thursday at noon, wherever we may be. We'll act right in a restaurant. We'll act right in the bank. We'll act right at Walmart even. We'll act right in traffic. See, listen, we're all human. And we can all get off track, and we can all do things. We can all sin. Let's just call it what it is. We can all commit sin. But we do those things when we take our eyes off Christ, when we take our mind off him, when we're so busy and consumed with other stuff that we forget who we're trying to please, then we're going to slip up and do something we shouldn't do. Keep your mind on Christ. He said, "But you'd do the works of Abraham if you were his children. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father." Then they said to him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. But he speaketh a lie. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God." Listen, little children. If we're really sons and daughters of God, we need to hear his word. We need to take it to heart. It needs to be more than a book that sits on a shelf, but it needs to be a roadmap of life that governs our every action. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, "Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" And Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." Then said the Jews unto him, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself?" And Jesus answered, "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Remember how this chapter started? Started with these scribes and Pharisees dragging a woman that was guilty before Christ to be stoned. Look at how it ends now. Then they took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. These are the scribes and Pharisees that came with a woman that was guilty and caught in the very act. They were going to stone her. I don't know how many of them there were, but we know that they one by one dropped their stones and walked away. And then Jesus preached to them a little while, and some of them believed. But they didn't believe too long, because when he got down to what was really required to be a child of God, when he said, hey, you got to keep my commandments, you got to walk and do my word, you can't just speak it and say you're a Christian, but you got to really live it, he lost them. Because see, they wasn't really committed. They wasn't really willing to put forth the effort that it takes to be a Christian. Can I tell you today, it's the same way for us. We have to put forth the effort to be a child of God. Not to earn our salvation, but because we have received it. Listen, that's how you know. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. You can tell. You can spot a real Christian. They're not the ones gossiping all the time. They're not the ones casting stones at others. Can I tell you, we as a people, me as a man, I can't make you do anything. You can't make me do anything. But if I am what I say I am, then I should want and desire for myself to be the image and likeness of Christ. And you should be able to see a difference in me. You should be able to see that I don't treat people the way the world treats people. You should be able to see that Brother Adam has been known to turn the other cheek and it gets slapped too. But you should see me respond the way Christ did. Sometimes without saying a word. I'm not perfect. There have been many times I've been smacked and I said a lot. But you know what? I'm learning to keep my peace. You know, when I think about Christ, when he was dying and being nailed to a cross, being beaten, being slapped, being spit on, all these things, he didn't say a word against those that were doing it. In fact, the only words that he uttered was, God forgive them. God forgive them because they know not what they do. He wasn't hollering out at them. He was praying to his Father, even in the midst of being hurt and injured. That's an example that we have. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I've never been nailed to a cross. I've never been beaten for my faith. I know that there are those that have been. But listen, you think you got it bad? 12 disciples, 11 of them were martyred because they believed in Christ. It wasn't because they were bad people. It wasn't because they were injuring or harming anyone. It's because they believed in Jesus Christ. I watched a movie here a while back. I don't even remember the name of the movie, but it was about this girl at the Columbine High School where these kids were killing. And she said in that movie, you know, she was killed basically because of her faith. Because she believed in Christ.
You know, I don't know if it happened exactly like it did in the movie. I don't know. But, you know, I have to wonder. If somebody asked me if I believed in Jesus or be shot, what would I choose? And if they shot me once and asked me if I still believe, would I still say, yes, I do? And let them shoot me again. Listen, if we're going to be that bold and that strong to be able to stand in those times, we're going to have to get a lot tougher than what we are now. Because right now we get offended at the littlest things. And we pick up stones and want to cast them at people that we say, well, people we should love. Who's without sin? You cast the first stone. You realize Jesus was without sin, but he didn't cast a stone. I'm going to close with Matthew chapter 5, verse number 20. We just heard a message about the scribes and the Pharisees, how they so righteously drug a sinner that was guilty before Christ to be stoned. And Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 20, "For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." We got to be better than that. Our righteousness has got to be wrapped up in Him. Amen. Not our traditions, not our religion, not our doctrine, not our denomination, not our religiosity, as Brother Rowdy calls it. But our righteousness, listen, my righteousness is filthy rags, but His righteousness is perfect. He is my righteousness. He is your righteousness. The next time the devil tempts you to pick up a stone and cast it at others, drop that stone, hit your knees, and pray that God will reveal to you and remind you how much you needed His grace. Because when you're reminded of how much you need His grace, you can have compassion on others. You can then look at that horrible sinner that's guilty, turn them towards Christ and let them go free. That's the image of Christ. That's what Jesus would do. We don't have to wonder, what would Jesus do? He showed us. Drop your stones. Have mercy. We all need it. Stand with me tonight. This altar's open. Always is, always has been, and always will be. Because this is the place where God can and will and does change people's lives. I know He's changed mine. And He's used this church, this people, to speak life into my life. He's used individuals here to be the light of life. We should encourage one another. We should support one another. We should pray for one another. And we should forgive one another. And we should ask God to forgive us. So tonight, maybe you just want to gather around this altar. Maybe you want to stand right where you're at. But I pray tonight that you'd search your heart. Search your soul. Examine yourself. And listen for the Word of God. Listen for what His Spirit's leading you to do. If it's to speak, speak. If it's to be quiet, Be quiet. Remember who you want to please as we go about our week. In every situation, every business meeting, every phone call, every interaction with others, remember who you want to please. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you tonight, God, thanking you, Father, for this opportunity. I thank you for this people that are hungry and thirsty for you, God. God, I thank you for their humbleness, God, and their attentiveness to listen to what you had to say tonight, God. I pray that you'll move upon each of our hearts. God, help us to be more compassionate towards others. Fill our hearts with love, God, and help us to be bold when we need to be bold. Help us to be compassionate, God, when we need to be compassionate. Help us to be quiet, God, when we need to be quiet. But God, most of all, help us to drop our stones that we would intend and desire to throw at others. Help us to examine our lives and see how much we need your grace. And let that be an example to us, God. Just as your word was an example tonight, God, of what Jesus would do. Help us to apply that as we go forward. God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We thank you for your mercy, God, that you had on us. God, help us now. Be your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Brother Adam. Can you say praise the Lord? Glory to God. Hallelujah.
God who's had this surgery, I pray, God, that you would take the pain away. I pray, God, that you would speak healing into his body. And this prayer call be a reminder, God, that he will work through in your power. Father, we also pray, Lord, that you would protect my family, God, as he travels to Forsake. God, just let your own body of angels be held well in the balance, God. Protect her, God, as she goes forward on this mission, Lord. Keep her safe from all danger, God, from all accidents. God, I pray that you would protect her in every way. God, in honor of faith, Lord, and sister with her tonight. Lord, and we'll pray in the name of Jesus for her safe keeping. Amen and amen. Let it be God in Jesus' name. Praise Lord.
Can we love Jesus with another hand clap of praise? Amen. Been so good to us, hasn't it? Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Adam, for the wonderful word tonight. Guilty, but not condemned. Amen. That resonated in my heart tonight as he was ministering, and how I thought that I deserved condemnation, but I received redemption. Amen. And I pray that I never lose sight of that. I never forget where the Lord brought me from. It's been a wonderful day, a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Thank you for being here tonight. May God go with you and bless you this upcoming week. Get a soul on your heart. I really pray that we'll do that. I'm not charging you to do that. I'm not demanding that you do that. I'm humbly asking that you'll get a soul on your heart this week and incorporate that soul into your prayer life. For the other prayers that you pray, just remember, just put that one person. You know, if each and every one of us had one soul on our heart and one on our mind, I believe God would move in a mighty way. So I humbly ask you this week as you pray just to keep one soul on your mind, whoever it may be. It can be a loved one, it can be a family member, it can be someone you work with. But just really focus on that one soul that God would save them. Amen. Wouldn't that be a great revival? Amen. God bless you. We love you. Let's bow our heads, and with this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Yes. All right. And continue to remember all of those who are having these respiratory problems, whether it be pneumonia, flu, or whatever the problem. It seems to be rapid this time of year. So let's pray, especially for our children and our elderly. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, God, for your love, for your mercy and grace, for this time, God, that you've given us to gather together in one mind and one accord. Thank you for the word, God, that we heard tonight. Thank you for the man of God you anointed it to bring forth. Father, I pray that we would take it to heart and realize, God, where you brought us from and not be so quick, God, to judge others. But, Lord, when we look, let us see a mirror. Let us see an image of ourselves, God, and what you've done for us. And we're so thankful for that. Thank you for those who've come forward this morning and tonight, God. And I thank you for your healing. I thank you for the miracles. And Father, I pray, God, for those who are suffering, the little ones who are sick, the children tonight, God, I pray that you would touch their bodies. God, I pray, Lord, that you would pray this flu under subjection, God. I pray, Lord, that you would just put some kind of restraint upon it, God. Let it not spread any further. God, we know all things are possible with you. Protect us, Lord, and keep us safe from all harm and danger. And we'll give you honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. We love you. Have a wonderful week.